The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Forgive me, I'm using the different gospel. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two or three of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. God of mercy and compassion, be in our midst and bind us together in your Spirit as a community of love and service, to bear one another's burdens in these days when we face the ravages of storm, sea, and earthquake. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, from whom comes our hope. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's a pleasure to see all of you this morning. As I was thinking about what I wanted to say today, I was struck by these readings that are, well, the first one's about the Passover, and that's a whole other story. But when we get into Paul and the gospel, there are stories of patience, there are stories of care, and there are stories of love. And that's the theme that comes through in the face of overwhelming odds. God's love wins and triumphs. And I was thinking how to set that in the context of the events of the last couple of weeks, what we've seen in Houston, what we've seen in Florida, what we've seen in southern Mexico. And when I pulled out my sermon files, because you know I've got some, I looked back to the year 2005, 12 years ago. The Sunday then was September 11th. It was 4 years after the tragedy that our country had endured. And I assumed that that was what I would have been preaching about, but I was wrong. With these same readings, I was preaching instead about what was in the news on that day, which was Hurricane Katrina. And as I read it, I thought, well, I guess what goes around comes around. It was true then, and it's true now. So, without reading the entire thing to you, I'd like to share some of what I said to my congregation then. I told them about my gratitude for their inquiries about my own family, because they live in northern Louisiana and in Houston, and went on to tell them about my friend AJ, who's a colleague serving in the Diocese of Louisiana. And I said, I tried to call my friend AJ last week, but had trouble reaching him. There was no answer at his home or at St. James Episcopal Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where AJ was then the assistant rector. Even though I knew that Baton Rouge had been spared the brunt of Hurricane Katrina, I wondered if AJ had evacuated his young family, and after a couple of days of trying, I finally got through to his office, and we spoke. I don't know what you're seeing on TV, he told me, but it's worse than that. You can't imagine how terrible it is in New Orleans, he said. Then he described what he had seen very graphically and using language that he said he was relieved to be able to use with a friend, since his role would normally have prevented that. He told me that after, it reminded him of watching the television coverage of September 11th, except that in that case, the crashes were over within minutes. And even the collapse of both towers had occurred only a few hours later. It all had happened in one day, and the estimated death tolls went down as the list of missing was culled and deduped. But in this case, he said, it's like something of biblical proportions. It's like watching a disaster in slow motion. Nothing is quick. Everything is agonizing. Katrina took her time. He gave me some examples of the terrible things that were happening on the ground at that time. Terrible from the storm itself, and terrible because in a moment like that, people tend to be revealed, either in terms of their greatest aspirations or their deepest fears, and their most awful pettiness. The offices of the Episcopal Diocese of Louisiana, he said, were looted before they were flooded. Relief efforts had been hampered by lawlessness, desperation, and hardness of heart. An attempt to evacuate Charity Hospital failed when a sniper began shooting at the helicopter. At the convention center, women were raped entering the bathrooms. And yet, as our then presiding Bishop Frank Griswold wrote, life affords us very few securities, and yet deep in within us, often revealed in the midst of profound vulnerability and loss, springs up a hope that contradicts the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Such hope emerges from the depths of despair as pure and unexpected gift. This is the way in which Christ accompanies us and seeks to share our burdens. May Christ so be with those of us who are enduring the effects of the hurricane, and may each of us be a minister of hope to others in these dark and tragic days. I think that Bishop Griswold's words were wise, and they speak to us in our present day. The readings today, especially the reading from Romans, speak of our need to love, not just as a feeling, but as an act of doing, of helping, of being the embodied Christ in our own time. Many of you last week were very generous in your offerings for Hurricane Harvey. And if you did donate for relief from Harvey, I hope you will donate again for relief from Irma and from a magnitude 8 earthquake in Mexico, because the pain is very real and it endures. AJ's wife sent an email to a long list of her friends describing what was going on 12 years ago. We are well, overwhelmed, dazed, confused, and energized by the outpouring of grace and generosity, AJ's family in New Orleans has escaped but suffered many damages, and the extent of their loss is still to be determined. Baton Rouge has doubled or tripled in size overnight as it becomes the closest city to what was New Orleans. The demands that this places on everyone is overwhelming. Much of our time is spent ministering to refugees' needs. Imagine close to 1 million people of all socioeconomic backgrounds becoming refugees overnight. The impact on people's lives is staggering. We pray for God's grace to inform and strengthen and sustain us through it all. We ask for your prayers and appreciate knowing that we are not alone. These are the kind of stories that are unfolding right now that have yet to be told. When I was in seminary, our dean told the story of going home to his family at Christmas, and a little girl being asked if she was looking forward to Christmas Eve services, and she said, "No. It's always the same thing that he says, blah, 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 love." Well, what's called for in the face of the tragedies that we're seeing is blah, 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 love. In Baton Rouge and elsewhere, the depths of human depravity and the height of God's grace were evident. Moved by kindness and generosity that are the fruit of the Spirit, so many people lived into the words we hear from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there was good in that time, and there is good now. At one online registry where people can sign up to host refugee families, more than 114,000 beds were volunteered, each with a description written by someone who stood ready to overcome the evil of disease, poverty, and desperation and homelessness with the goodness of God's steadfast love. And so they wrote, "This is not the best. However, we do love and care about our community. Therefore, we offer what we have." Another wrote, "I have clothes of my own children willing to give them. I may not be able to offer money, but I can offer a temporary home, food, long-distance phone calls to communicate with family." Still another, "If there are any children that you know who are in need of a home, we would be so blessed to take them into our home and care for them as if they were our own." Still another, "I live in the country, but close enough to town. I have a couch and a big living room with a couple of blow-up mattresses. It's not much, but at least you would have TV to watch and air conditioning and hot meals. Kids of any age and even teenagers are welcome. My hubby might be able to get a job where he works." And then finally, someone writing, not apparently aware of what would happen 12 years later, "This is a small church located about 10 miles from the Astrodome and 3 miles from downtown Houston. Welcome, welcome, welcome." As I consider the events of the last couple of weeks and look back at what happened in 2005, Sometimes it seems to me that our hearts have levees built around them to protect them from a flood of harm, but simultaneously preventing us from living as we were created and redeemed to live. May God break down the levees of our hearts. May God's justice and mercy flow and rush through that breach like a river. And so let us pray again. O gracious God, we will never understand the sorrows of the world, but by your grace we will not turn away from them. Cheer and encourage those who labor to help the injured, the homeless, the hungry, and those in despair. Bless and soften the hearts of those who would take advantage of tragedy for their own profit, that they may come to know where true joy is to be found. We ask these things in your most holy name. Amen.